Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint XP Podcast. Check out our international radio show and daily podcast at checkpointxp.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into the Checkpoint XP Podcast on the Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint XP Radio Show. My name's Nate Bender. I'm joined by the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
What up?
Norris Howard.
What up, Joe?
And Joe Sloan.
Psyched to be here.
All right. We like to start off this show getting your feedback in the form of iTunes reviews. Because if you submit enough of them, we'll do dumb things on our live stream over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
And the dumb thing that if you guys reach, well, what's the numbers again?
90? I think it's 90.
We need a total of 200 on the Checkpoint XP podcast. That's right. A total of 50 the daily podcast.
And if we get to those numbers, Norris Howard,
we'll do a mystery cosplay.
We'll do a mystery cosplay
that you, the viewers, get to help decide with Norris's help.
Yes.
So currently,
we have to be Twitch appropriate.
Yeah. We are sitting at 24 reviews
halfway
for the
there.
Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast.
Halfway there.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that.
Well done.
We can get that.
Yeah.
The fact that we have over 100 on the Checkpoint XP podcast, right? If even a fraction of them go and review daily,
you got 50.
We're good.
Well, we have a total of 137 reviews.
That's the one that worries me.
63 to go still, huh?
On the Checkpoint XP podcast.
More than half.
From where we started.
Anyway. That's right.
That's right. So, we want to invite you to leave some review love because we've got to get those numbers up. I mean, honestly, if we want to see this cosplay done, you're going to have to really, like, you know, figure out.
You got to buckle down.
You got to maybe introduce some new people to the show. Like,
and
you know.
Make sure they review it.
That's right.
Right.
Beat them up if they don't.
That's right. So, let's take a look at our iTunes review coming in from Doza52.
Oh, Doza.
Says entertainment. You guys are entertaining, funny, and smart. Aw, thank you.
That was nice.
I'm waiting for the other boot to drop.
Yeah.
And educating me on the gaming industry. I know more about games than I ever did, and I owe it to the women and men and non-binary people of the Checkpoint Radio.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That's
salute
awesome.
To you all. Thank you so much, Doza.
That was a very inclusive review.
The Rainbow Coalition of Checkpoint.
I wish we had the Joe Flake to spam in the chat.
I know. That would be great.
Would be ideal, yeah.
Do you guys want a bonus one-star review?
Oh,
yes,
no.
We do.
This is the non-inclusive one right here.
All right.
Let's get a bonus one-star review up in here.
Yeah, I'm working on bringing it up because
these are always my favorite.
This one's going to be like, fuck all of you.
I mean, just as long as it's not racist, I'm pretty okay with everything.
Yeah. I can take constructive criticism.
Well, Norris.
Oh,
it's racist.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
Is it bigoted in any way?
It's not.
Oh, okay. Good.
Does it call Norris out, though?
Not really.
Oh. Okay.
This one comes to us from Zmog FC.
Zmog FC. Okay.
That's right.
One star.
It's a one star who says yawn.
Yawn.
That's it?
Is that it?
No.
It's a title.
It's a title.
That's
okay.
Right. The message is Norris is being wasted here.
Oh! Oh no!
You know why that doesn't mean anything to me? That is obviously a FF14 player.
Yeah,
their opinion means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Oh!
Go back to your role playing.
That is. Bless you.
Oh, God.
Look at his ego. It grew three times that day.
I got to move over a little bit. I can't fit over here. Jeez.
Wonderful.
Ugh.
Yeah, he likes you so much, he gave it a one-star review.
Yeah. Way to go, Norris.
Way to bring down the average.
Jeez.
Nah, I just set the curve, Playboy.
God.
Help
Norris, me. You're so funky.
I want to put you on mic timeout for that one. That's terrible. Ugh.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Need a shower. All right. Let's talk about our... I've got a bit of a conundrum that I want you guys to help me work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I have recently become a part of several, more than a few, like three or four different Fallout 76 trade discords.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
The organizing principle is to help people, players, find one another to be able to trade and sell items.
Right.
Because there is no native way to do that in the world of Fallout 76.
Makes sense.
There's no player vending. There's right. nothing. There's just trading. That's
There's
it.
No auction house.
No auction
no,
house.
No academy. No, nothing.
Can't
nothing.
Throw up your bazaar and roll in mall.
Right.
Okay.
So one of the items that has become one of the more sought after weapons in the game
okay.
have become bloodied weapons that also have the exploding secondary legendary attachment.
Bloodied weapons basically are weapons that get stronger as your health decreases, correct?
Correct. Okay. Right. So
we'll just make sure we understand.
Right. So the logic in the build is that you stack bloodied weapons with nerd rage and you can get some pretty impressive weapon numbers mm-hmm. out
yeah,
of that.
Chug out, you're a glass cannon, but you can chug out some DPS.
That's right. Got and it. if you throw the exploding affix on that as well, you pump more damage, and you can pump that even higher. With
and it's,
the,
you're
even,
basically, and with, it's even more dangerous, because if one person runs in front of you as you shoot and it explodes on you,
I mean, yes. But
the whole point is you're basically...
It can be pumped up by about 60%, I think, with Demolitions Ow. Expert.
But
okay?
the whole point is basically your Fallout's equivalent to a black mage, and it takes a lot of time and effort to do that.
Well, it's very difficult. Like, farming the actual weapons is a pain in the ass.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
You can, it's a very RNG-dependent system, right? The likelihood of you getting a weapon is less than you getting armor, because there's more variant types of armor in the game than there are even weapon variations.
And then you're talking okay. about hopefully and then you're getting all three pips.
First you need to get a weapon. Then you need to get the right type of weapon that goes with your build. Then you need to get three, at least, two correct pips that you want on that weapon.
Which are your affixes, right?
Right, yes. Okay, yeah. Those are the legendary affixes. And so that is what kind of determines the value
of a weapon.
Relatively of a legendary weapon in Fallout 76 right now.
Okay.
That has changed several times. At the beginning of the game, it was two-shot exploding. Now it's kind of varied. There are different builds that do, some people value VATS critical stuff. I think the vast majority of the community has gone kind of in the bloodied direction.
Okay.
So these are highly sought after items, and every time I see one in the trade Discord, I'll always message somebody about it, and most of the time they do not want caps for them, because A, there's a 25k limit,
and if
on
they have that weapon, they've been playing long enough to have doubled.
They got
that
way more than 25k caps.
And not just that, but they know where they want to farm. If they want caps, it's not hard to get caps.
They can
right?
go farm them,
right? And so it's taken and devalued the currency quite a bit,
right?
And so basically, the people that I've talked to that have bloodied explosive weapons are only looking to trade them. And they're only really looking to trade them for other insane weapons with insane affixes
right.
on
right.
them.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So, I'm talking to one guy and I say, hey, here's my trade list. I'm sure I don't have anything that you want, but I'm like, I'm dying for this
like
weapon.
Like item plus caps,
right.
blah, blah, blah.
Right. I've got the cameraman account that we use to be able to produce Checkpoint 76.
Right.
So I've been using that as a mule and been putting like legendary items and even caps on those mules. So I'm sitting at around 35k caps, and I'm like, listen, I'll give you every cap that I have to be able to buy this gun. And he's right. like, listen, I'm just not interested in caps.
I can go farm my own caps.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say who this person is, right, and I'm not even going to say on which Discord
okay.
this happened in, because while this is... I haven't read the terms of service on Fallout 76. I'm assuming
we can assume what they
I'm
probably
assuming
are.
That it's against the terms of service on Fallout 76, and it's definitely against the terms of service on the Discords.
right? RMT is not a thing. I ask, what can I do? What can get it done? What can we do?
And you know what he said.
$20.
Ballin'.
Hmm.
That cash.
And here's the thing, is that, like, now, obviously, I said no.
Right.
But it made me wonder, and I'll be honest,
you thought about it.
I was tempted. I was real tempted.
So your question, I guess then, is because we come from an era where RMT was explicitly amoral and not
devil.
Okay. Was the devil.
Was devil. The fucking
so,
devil. Yeah.
Your
and
question,
if someone,
I think
it, and by the way, if someone was exposed to have been complicit in RMT, mm-hmm. they would ruin their online reputation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes their character would be banned, depending on how zealous.
Back in those days, there was no question about it. There wasn't no part of you that's like, well, maybe.
But.
No.
But. There's a slight difference now.
Well, that's what I mean. The question is, has the morality shifted over the last 15 years?
There's a slight difference now.
Yeah.
And the reason why there's a slight difference is because the developers and the publishers themselves.
It's more than slight, by the way.
It is. are now involved essentially in what is real money trading.
Right.
Because you can now, in many cases, spend real money on powerful items.
That's right.
Or in some cases, currency in the game.
Now, what most people, I think, will say in defense of developers are, well, 99% of the time, microtrans items are not more powerful. They're just a cosmetic change,
yeah, yeah.
Especially with games that have online balanced environments.
Not all the time.
That's not necessarily true.
Not all the time.
When a company thinks that they can make money off of it, Battlefront 2, they will do, either microtransaction systems or loot box systems that will give players an inherent advantage when they take it online.
We have somebody in our chat who says, I just bought a job boost and for my alternate on Final Fantasy 14, I got 300k gil for it. Does that count as real money trading?
So
what is the difference between buying a jump potion and paying for someone else to level your character to boost your account?
Tell you exactly what it is. One of those has been sanctioned by the developer.
Right.
That's it.
Right. So if we're willing to kind of say, okay. But the thing is that a developer is not necessarily the arbiter of morality.
Right.
No, they would like to be.
They'd like to cast themselves in that role, but let's be honest, they're not. And they don't have the tools, nor are they zealous enough to be able to police stuff like that. And all you need to do is you need to just search Fallout 76 PC on eBay to see the number of digital items that are available for sale there, and Bethesda has done nothing to stop or curb any of that behavior.
Right. We did a bit on the Daily Show this week where we looked at some items on eBay that had sold for ghastly sums of money.
Exactly.
Hundreds of dollars. And they're just accounts that have stuff leveled up.
And that's the thing, is that there are some people who will even make a distinction of, like, well, selling individual items is wrong, but selling accounts is okay.
There's no difference.
What?
No, you can be on either side. But you have to pick
now,
one.
Here's why I think it makes Fallout 76 a particularly, I don't want to say flimsy, but complicated case, right? Because real money trade in the MMO context was always frowned upon because that was a way to destabilize the entire economy.
This was going
to
be my question
server.
Towards you guys. On that point, what makes this a question of morality? The fact that it's against the TSA or the fact that it, or
the TSA? Yo, chill out at the airport, Robbie.
Yeah, sorry. The TSA is
really looking for those bloodied explosive weapons, let me tell you.
Actually, yes. They are.
Well,
to be fair.
Is the question of morality because it's against the terms of service or because it disrupts gameplay?
Well, that was the thing. Like, we go back to Final Fantasy XI, where RMT was abhorrent, and it was abundant. I guess it was both.
We all remember, what was that, December 07?
The Purge.
Yeah.
Literally the Purge.
Great Purge of billions of gil.
Right. And RMT had become so abundant and rampant that it literally, gil was worth nothing. Now, in 76, we're talking about a game where you're the caps, they're already kind of worth very little.
Yeah.
Purely because that's the way the game's built. It's built so that caps aren't the end all be all. Gil was supposed to kind of be the end all be all of FF11's economy.
Well, and there's nothing that ties a server economy. Like, there is no server economy. There is no overall economy.
Right. That's what makes this more complicated.
Yeah,
right.
This is a hard question because, like, immediately I want to be like, no, of course it's not okay. What the hell is wrong with you? But
The more I sat there and thought about it, I was like, well, if this was FF11, if this was a vacuumed economy where, you know, you don't have that kind of stuff, then, you know, the way that I thought about it is I was like, okay, well, if this guy actually spent the time to farm up this weapon and he didn't dupe it, you know, he's not actually breaking the game. Like, should I hold it against him to instead of seeking out caps or other digital items to go, I'm providing a service and if people are willing to pay this money, then let them pay the money.
Here's why a game like, you know, 76 or even a game like EVE Online makes this a more complicated question. Well, not so much EVE Online, but 76 in particular. But
yeah.
Because that the game actively encourages player-on-player trading and interaction, it's supposed to be something that is completely held up by the ecosystem that the players create.
Well, and my question is to Bethesda, how do you track something like that? Like in a player interaction, right? Like, how do you know if something has been traded for real money?
You don't.
Yeah, this makes me think of Diablo.
I'd also argue too, really quick, that in Fallout 76 too, if you were to get that gun, the servers that you're on as a whole, based on your play style, anybody who plays with you benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it's not competitive claiming or anything like that. Yeah,
the server is benefited by
there being a stronger guy on the server.
While there is
generally
PvP, right, yeah, and it would impact PvP, yep, yeah, and you can would grief people. You know, most of the PvE stuff is not competitive in any way.
So I think of Diablo. In Diablo 2, this exact thing started to ramp up. You had the runic, the rune words. So, you know, if you've got, hey, I need Enigma, Ja'ith Bear, three very rare runes. Takes hours upon hours upon hours upon hours to farm these sorts of things. Or I can go on eBay and say and find someone who's selling their Enigma chest piece for $20 or $10 or whatever it happens to be. So when Diablo 3 came on the scene, Blizzard said, okay, we're going to have an auction house that wherein you can trade your items like that, and you can make money off it. You can actually pull money out of it once you have enough accrued.
How'd that work out?
It went horrifically. I don't want to just say that that's the only reason why, like, there was so much broken about Diablo 3 when it launched.
Because trying to incorporate real money into your MMO economy can work. Guild Wars 2 does it great. The fact that the cost of their currency fluctuates with the actual economy, it all works out. I don't know how they do it, some magic behind the scenes, but it does actually work.
Well, and you get the same thing in EVE Online. Because you have a real-world tie via from ISK to whatever the item is that gives you an extra 30 days of playtime, there is a real-world equivalency, and you can technically trade money that way.
Sure.
But in the case of Fallout 76, I just wonder if, has 10 years kind of changed the morality on that?
Can it also change, by the way, from game to game? I mean, is that...
I think the argument more so is the umbrella thing of real money trading. Has the general
developers have told us it's okay. This point with them getting in on it.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
That's the message from a dev. The message from a dev is saying, hey, if you want to spend extra money to get items or better accounts,
we'll provide you with that.
We'll provide you.
Well, and I think they've kind of traded their moral high ground to be able to get in on a cut of that economy. Because 10 years ago, when, again, we were talking about games like Final Fantasy XI, this was a very staunch line that the developers touted, and they were very public with their audience in saying, listen, if you are
Final
complicit...
Final Fantasy XI had an RMT task force.
Exactly.
I was about to say, and active in trying to fight it.
If you're complicit in this, then you are breaking the rules and we will terminate your account. And I don't think, I don't think that Bethesda has shown any of that, And I think you're right. I think people do kind of make a judgment call based on the game, based on the community, and based on what the developer has directly said about it.
What this kind of reminds me of is the way that, like, alcohol is perceived, like, you know, in general society. You have specific places to go, and the government allows you to go and buy alcohol when you reach of age and spend money to go get it. But you can't make alcohol just like at the crib without a litany of permits and going through the process and all the other legal stuff. You can't just sit and make moonshine in a tub. It's not legal.
And for most part, you're okay to drink and do what you want as long as you don't fuck with anybody else.
Exactly.
Making moonshine is legal for you to consume. You can't sell it.
Yeah.
Moonshine.
Thank you. That's my thing. You can't sell it. So if this person went out and did all the work and grinded all the resources that he need to make the particular weapon in question, all of that is fine. The moment that he goes, I want to sell this to you for real life money, it becomes both more, it becomes, first of all, a TOS violation and really morally kind of weird.
Do we care about the TOS, though? Here's the thing, right?
This is just a conversation between two individuals. Doesn't involve eBay, doesn't involve Bethesda, right. The only people who would be getting hurt. Yeah, who is being damaged by this?
So I have two, like, I wouldn't even say
that Bethesda's losing money because there's no way for you to do it through them otherwise.
Exactly.
Right. So I'm kind of on board. I get what you're saying. I have two points that I'm kind of on, and maybe you can kind of walk me through them. The first is, let's say we as the gaming community, not necessarily the developers, but the players, decide, no, this is something we think is okay, and we're going to do it. Is the developer still within their rights to shut it down if they see it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
They are? Okay. If they are, then I'm okay with that.
Yes.
The second one, and this is maybe more of just a personal thing. If this is okay, I don't ever in my life want to hear someone fucking go, I just spent $20 on this item and they nerfed it. Too fucking bad. You spent $20 on it. That's your fucking idiot call. Like, no, not okay.
No,
you live with the consequences of doing shit like that.
I would agree. And I think if this is the new future.
Which, let's be honest, that can be a consequence of an item either being so overpowered and so valuable,
or so in demand
that, you know, people are falling all over each other or doing unscrupulous things, what the developer considers unscrupulous things, to be able to acquire them.
Well, it's super in demand because maybe it's broken powerful and it's in need of a nerf.
Well, I mean, that is one point. But even if it's not
quote unquote broken, even if it is just very powerful,
because there will always be whatever the highest possible DPS.
There's always
going to
be best in slot.
Yes.
Right. Now, there is a logical conclusion to this that is kind of scary, and that's that at the point where it's the purchasing treadmill, right? Where we're just constantly like, if I want to get into this game and I don't want to spend money to get all the stuff, I'm hopelessly outmatched. You know what I mean? And we see things like that happen in pay-to-win games, the games that get labeled pay-to-win
all
the time.
Yeah,
There's no point in going in if you're not going to pay.
Yeah.
So that's a scary thing to me. I can see why people would be on either side of this.
And Joe, and I'm glad you said that, because that is exactly where I stand. It's not necessarily that the concept of one person going to another person and saying, I have something you want, let's make a trade.
Yeah, hook me up with $20 and it's yours.
It's the slippery slope.
It's the slippery slope. It's the fact that that can then open the floodgates to an entire sub-economy, an entire subculture of people farming items specifically to sell them and making...
For the purpose of selling them and completely destabilizing the ecosystem of a game. Well, and you know, here's the thing: when it comes to destabilizing ecosystems of the game, and when it comes to Fallout 76, we did see that with the massive amount of dupers and people who broke into the dev room and would sell those items as well. Like, it's not a mystery that players of this game are willing to do unscrupulous things,
and not just this game, any game.
Right? It's not at all unique to Fallout 76, but you know, it's hard for me to go, okay, well, you know, this is really wrong, when you can very easily jot over to eBay, look it up, and find tons of public listings that are easily traceable back to a fucking account.
You know,
all you gotta listen, if you're Bethesda, or I just looked up Diablo. I mean, listen, Diablo items are not going for very much,
well,
but
no,
like,
not anymore.
You know, like ED Jewel, $3. Full Taraha set, $2.
Guys, we're having the steroid debate.
Little bit.
No, we're having the steroid debate.
Having the steroid debate.
Whether it's the concept of, like, if people are doing it, it's unfair for me to not do it.
Yep.
Like, no, this is the steroid debate.
It is.
And, I mean, hey, at the end of the day, what's the best era of baseball?
But the
super steroid era.
But I mean, again, I think, you know, when it comes to competition, steroids are a very serious conversation.
So is it
when it comes to private citizens, though, you go, hey, well, John in accounting is juicing. Well, who cares? Who cares?
Juicing those numbers.
No, but I'm saying, like
who cares? Does it matter?
Okay, if he's okay with a small penis and back acne, that's fine.
That's fine. Let him go for it.
But that's sort of my point. But it's just that if John in accounting then, you know, wanted to join the softball league, we have a fucking issue.
Now it's a concern, yeah.
So the thing is it becomes a slippery slope. So I understand why.
If it's a professional softball league, sure. But I mean, like, the company softball team?
No, dog, I ain't trying to play with John, who's been juicing for three years.
I'm definitely with Norris here, because on its head...
I want to play on John's team. What are you talking about?
Well, that's true. John needs to be on your team.
I don't want him on my team with a stupid, squeaky steroid voice.
Listen, you know what? I'll take an asterisk next to my win. It's fine. I don't mind.
I still got the trophy on
the
shelf.
That's right.
On its face, this one instance that you're talking about isn't going to affect anything.
No.
And I say, sure, you know, go ahead and do it. You know, you're going to have fun playing. But that's technically breaking the TOS. And for me, if we're saying that it's okay to break the TOS, that's not where we draw the line for morality. TOS doesn't matter. TOS doesn't matter. And
yeah,
where
but,
is the fucking
whoa,
line?
Whoa, hold on. But people break terms of service every day. It's not about breaking terms of service, whether they know it or not.
Right.
It's how those terms of service are enforced by the company. And if I can go onto eBay and I can find very public listings for items in the game that I'm playing, then it makes me less inclined to go no when somebody goes $20 and it'll get done if there's nothing else that I can get them to do to trade.
You're okay
if
with you're, the consequences,
if,
though.
If you're if you're Bethesda, all you need to do is purchase one item and find the account that delivers it to you and ban that account if you want to enforce your TOS. It's very easily enforceable.
To be fair, though, even in 11, which had an RMT task force that was dedicated to this, and they were very dedicated to it.
Sure.
It didn't stop the flood of RMT tells that you got every day.
Absolutely.
It didn't stop the eBay listings or anything. It was all still there.
In that case, they even had to buy games and pay subs. For Fallout 76,
you have to buy a game anyway.
But. The same music. I was thinking like to the Apex problem, because that you get banned, you just make a new account.
You just make a new Apex account and go again. Yeah,
but I mean, but again, the thing is that to Robbie's point is that I understand what you're saying about people violating the TOS, and then there has to be some sort of internal compass as to what people decide is moral or immoral. Yes, people do break TOS all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that people break the speed limit. I wouldn't call somebody breaking the speed limit necessarily a irresponsible, terrible human
being. I'm not going to call you a felon for breaking the speed limit. Yeah.
Right. But breaking into the liquor store and stealing a whole bunch of stuff.
Now we're going to have a conversation about you being a felon.
That's what I'm saying. We do have laws that have different degrees of, you know, severity to them.
Sure.
And I think somebody who knowingly goes out to sell items knows that they are breaking the TOS.
If
they don't, then how?
Ignorance is no excuse.
I don't think ignorance has been trading
back and forth to people, no problem. And you're the first guy that comes along that really needs this, but you have nothing he wants. He's like, you know what, fuck it, $20. Okay, fine. But if this guy then starts turning this into a business and he's like, only for money, then I think
that's
a problem.
Well, because first of all, because why wouldn't you? at that point.
Yeah.
The fact that if
now that
fair,
you know,
you
now that you know,
yeah,
now that you know that the items have value, why would you not?
Why would
Genie's
you?
Genie's out of the
and
bottle.
It doesn't matter if you sold it for $5, $10, $20. Because I see people in the chat saying, "Oh, if it's just $5, it's not a big deal."
No, it's
no,
all or
it has
nothing.
Yeah. Nothing to do with
price,
the amount of money. That first of all, these items are all digital; they have no real value,
right,
to begin with. So the amount of money, the real money that's spent on it, does not matter. It's the concept that somebody could do this and then turn it, Robbie said, into a business. At that point, unless Bethesda says, hey, be like Eve Online and make Fallout 76 your job, then okay. But if they're not enforcing it and the is still violating the TOS, Bethesda has a very serious problem on their hands.
Now, well, to be fair, unlike games like Final Fantasy XI, to get to the point where you could be up and running and selling these kinds of items would be a lot harder in Fallout 76. You'd have to do a lot of leveling. Like, you could farm gil at pretty low levels in FF11.
Sure.
Now, that said, I guess that creates a new market of creating seller accounts,
seller
like burner
accounts.
Phones, effectively,
yeah,
for
you
getting rid of
stuff.
Seller
accounts, man.
Burner accounts.
The burner account. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
But I think, Nate, what we're talking about here is what it's going to come down to is transparency.
Yeah.
If Bethesda is going to say, no, that's not okay, okay, we need to occasionally get that article that I see every other day for Apex Legends saying we've banned so many hundreds of thousands of accounts for this.
Now you've hit on a real interesting point. What happens when the first company to see that and goes, yeah, fuck it, that's fine,
do it. Yeah, what happens?
Yeah, what happens? How does that then change the conversation around everything else? Because depending on the popularity of that game, now that behavior has become normalized.
And that game, I mean, at that point, can you levy a pay-to-win argument at that game?
Honestly, hang on.
EA has already done it with FIFA. They already do it. These games already exist. The games that say, hey, do you have a whole bunch of real money you want to get some really dope-ass items? Here
no,
you
no,
go.
No. No.
Or you mean P2P?
P2P.
That's a whole nother
P2P where the company who made the game is definitely not getting a cut, but it also doesn't bother them either. Mm. Mm-hmm. To the point where not they just sit on their hands and they don't say anything.
They actively encourage.
They just go, yeah, we don't care. Go ahead.
It says on the login screen that this is okay.
Like,
just as an example.
I don't know that you would go that far, when pressed about it, they just go, it's not an issue for us.
Yeah, no, do your thing.
Even a task turn way of doing it like that, I think, changes the dynamic of the conversation for all other online games.
It does, and that becomes a lot more slippery and a lot more complicated for consumers. Because
right.
if you
understand how paper thin close we are to this.
Without a doubt, we're very close to it.
Because we're basically at companies just basically not acknowledging that it's even a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just basically la 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 la, yeah, covering their ears, putting their head in the sand on it.
Dude, especially if your game is popular. If you got a game with an install base of 5 million players and everybody's trading items with everybody for real money, what did it matter?
Well, that's the thing.
Didn't people pay people for a lot of weird stuff in Second Life back in the day?
Absolutely. Sure, well, like, you could also trade, you could exchange real money into Linden bucks,
Linden dollars.
It had built into it like Eve does.
Yeah, but if they
were actually, I think, the first one to ever experiment with that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
If you have a community that really wants that sort of thing, though, I could see in the future a company saying, "No, we're fine with it. We get our $10 a month sub fee or whatever we charge."
Well, hold on,
go
question,
do your thing.
If a game big enough had some type of epidemic like this spreading through it, and the company didn't care whatsoever. This isn't something that you think that if the FTC caught wind of, that
of course
they
the FTC,
might not
of,
like the
of
sound
course
of
the
it?
FTC wouldn't like it because none of that would be taxed.
Mm.
So then do they not
Whoa,
intervene
yeah,
with the
no,
developer?
You're right.
The game itself?
If a company is going to actively allow
no,
that?
There's a paper. You're talking like there's going to be no paper trail or somebody's mailing somebody else cash. There's going to be a PayPal transaction. There's
sure.
going to be some kind of exchange. So some kind of tax is going to be paid on it.
If it's done
it.
Through like Venmo or something like that, it's fine.
Yeah.
But Venmo's legal.
That's exactly my point. There is going to be a service that facilitates it that makes it fine.
Yeah. If it's PayPal or Venmo or something.
To the FTC. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
to the FTC.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in a moral sense, but I'm just saying in terms of legality.
But
issues.
To Robbie's point, if, you know, the FTC starts seeing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands into the millions of dollars moving between people, and they have, you know, no say in it whatsoever, you know, there's no way to really understand why these funds are being transferred.
What I don't understand is that you guys think that if this happens, that it's basically open season for every other game. Like, if one developer lets it through and it becomes an epidemic for them, we're all screwed.
But no. As soon as it becomes normalized behavior to an entire generation, then I think you've got a problem.
Because are cool to us.
Right, exactly. Because I think that you do have a collection of young gamers right now who would see that kind of behavior and go, yeah, so what?
But if that happens in a game where it's not designed, I mean, what are the chances, A, first of all, that the game is going to keep succeeding, right? Like, if nothing was ever done about the epidemic in Final Fantasy XI, how much longer would you guys have played that if it was unplayable because the economy was so fucked? Like, couldn't something like that also kill a game?
It could.
It could. But
it absolutely could.
It could and probably would. But the problem is that there's going to be some people who say, all right, because I followed these types of things, I'm going to get in and make my money while I can make it. And if I get 5 years out of it, whatever. Fuck it.
This is how Bioshock begins. This shit is how Rapture starts, man. Yeah. I know where this is going. Unchecked capitalism in our games.
Rugged individualism. You know what I'm saying? No, for real. This pure capitalism is what we're talking about. And that's the thing, is that if it gets allowed, Robbie, yes, it probably would kill those games. But at what cost? How many people get exploited? How many people, you know, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to end up getting, you know, fake items? Items that people know are about to get nerfed. Items, you know, anything.
Sure, consequences to your actions.
The consequences, sure. And I'm not necessarily saying, you know, pity those folks. They know what they were doing with their money.
For it to happen to an entire generation, though, you're talking about multiple developers being okay with this.
Well, but it starts with one. I mean, again, right. It started with one developer going, yeah, we're going to start with microtransactions, because that was even a chunk out of the wall that was saying, no, RMT is exclusively bad.
We don't get the money, though. They're not going to go backwards.
Dude, the moment that WoW said you can turn your money into currency.
Yeah.
Well, and
it was over.
Yeah.
If you want proof positive that this could absolutely happen to a generation of people, 15 years later, we have gone from the standpoint of we don't even need to have that discussion to us having a 40-minute discussion about it.
Yeah.
It does happen over time.
I don't know that it is the end-all, be-all wrong thing to do. I just don't know. I don't know anymore because, again, development companies and video game developers have sent such mixed messages because, again, when they can make money, when they can monetize it, when they can get in on the action,
it's cool.
They do, and then they normalize it, and it's fun.
And that's what I'm saying, is that there's everybody out here who say, oh my God, real money trading, no, this is awful, this is terrible.
It's already happening, first
of all. If you've bought a loot box, you're a hypocrite.
Exactly.
Real money trading is already happening.
If you've ever paid for a skin, you're a hypocrite.
Does the conversation at all change if the item is not even a weapon or an item that can be used in any way? What if it's just cosmetic?
Doesn't matter.
You
know,
that's how you get skins betting sites.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I mean, what if the game is free and that's all they can use to make money? That's the only way they make money, is off their skins and cosmetics.
Like,
yeah.
Right. So, but if you feel that that is what you're doing to support this game, I'm not calling you a trash human being. I'm just saying that's a hypocritical stance to say, oh my God, no real money trading, but then support
any
small
game that uses loot boxes.
Any form of microtransaction.
I think that most people, like, for example, Heartslot in our chat says, my no on RMT is no. And I think because a lot of us come from that generation, like in FF11, where RMT was bad. RMT, the acronym to us, just means
evil. It's cancer.
They don't recognize microtransactions, even though it is real money trading, isn't in their head what RMT means.
Well, that's
RMT
a false equivalency
is
RMT is
stuff.
RMT.
No,
RMT
no.
Is,
I get it. I get
taking it. Real money and using it to buy digital goods.
But to a generation of people, the letters RMT means people farming gil to sell for people.
Well, but
or gold.
If you're an online game and you're presenting an online environment for your players to inhabit, unless you have a formalized system that facilitates the trading of items, then I think that there is going to be this problem that persists.
Yeah.
You're always going to have this because you have nothing that is facilitating the transaction between these two people. And that conversation can go any number of places.
I'll say this. So knowing that this is not going anywhere.
What if, hang on, just a hypothetical. Does this change the morality at all? What if this dude asked me to harass another player?
Oh, God.
To get that item.
Some people would do it.
To become like a digital hitman.
Some people would do it.
And say, harass this person until they no longer play this game, and I'll give it to you.
Some people would do it.
Does that change the conversation?
I think that's worse. That's way worse.
It's way worse.
Hold on, way worse. Really quick, though, if all you're doing is going through and killing them, you know, you're not necessarily, you know, doing anything.
Doesn't matter.
That's within the TOS. If you just follow someone around and kill them over and over and over again, if you're not saying anything.
Yeah. This is what, Robbie, you're getting exactly where I'm at.
You know, you're not trying to like verbally assault them in any way. If you're just killing them over and over again, that is okay under the
briefing.
TOS.
How is that okay under the TOS?
It's PvP.
That's it. TOS, that's game allowed.
Because they will tell you, block that person, switch to a different server.
Yep.
Well, I mean, to that point, it would be very difficult to actually be able to follow someone enough to get them to
play
the game.
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah.
Depending on how many people you have along with you.
You got to remember, 76 doesn't have 1,000 people on a server.
All you need at any given time. All you need is two accounts. You need one account where you befriend the person and you have them on your friends list. And then
your actual assault account.
You have your assault account. You add your other account. You join their server on your main account. Your assault account joins that server as well.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. I get you.
If all that can be proved, yes, harassment, you're breaking the TOS. But how do you prove all that?
Yep.
Yeah. That's very difficult.
Yeah.
So I mean,
again, unless the game company facilitates those transactions, then this is a distinct possibility for any transaction that happens, whether it's item for item, whether it's
service for item,
or whether it's money for item.
Yeah, you're right.
Bethesda is in its own way kind of blindfolding themselves and making themselves blind, deaf, and dumb to the problem.
And I think, I mean, you'd argue
God, then people say send nudes for bloody two-shot.
Oh,
Nate,
no.
If that guy said send me a dick pic for this bloody two-shot, would you do it?
He'd have did it.
I'm white, man. What are you gonna do? You gonna share it with people? What, you gonna shame me?
Fledgling esports radio host sends dick pic for fake gun.
To be honest, that would be an awesome headline.
That's a Florida man headline.
That's not even a scandal. That's a situation that we can leverage into headlines.
Yeah. With that said, man, we got Cody Gerald saying hello from Australia.
Hi,
what
there.
Up?
What time is it in Australia?
Probably very
it's
late.
Like, early, I think. Or it's early. Like 7 a.m.
It's one 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Like 8.
So now that we've thoroughly discussed this and come to no conclusion.
Nope. Because you know what?
I think the conclusion we've come to is that,
first of all, personal. It's a personal decision. I don't care what you do if you're not impacting other people's gameplay.
But there's a lesser of two evils conversation.
There is.
And that if the developer has taken it upon themselves to investigate, regulate, and in many cases distribute their own versions of real money trading, that's a sort of form of check and balance and control on a way to get real money spending into their game. I hate to support something like a microtransaction, but the alternative opens the door for so much work.
I want to add on to
we are all too aware as gamers and adults that what we spend in microtransactions on a game after we've paid the initial box price goes to supporting the continued development of that game,
exactly.
Which is why I don't flinch at buying Atoms, right?
Yeah. And right.
Robbie has said he doesn't flinch at buying
Riot boxes
at buying loot boxes for Overwatch.
Yeah.
You want to continue to support the things that you love, right? So I think that that is a very different emotional appeal than, you know, spending than an RMT purchase, right?
Well, then what specifically then it's a different emotional appeal than a pay to win purchase.
Yes.
Where when I do a pay to win purchase, my thinking is that I am giving you this money in exchange for the edge that I need versus I am giving you this money for this cosmetic item. Really, the thought is I want to support you guys.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe it's that skin looks really cool and I want it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's it. The point is, this was an open and shut case 10 years ago, and it's just not anymore. It's a discussion
not,
now.
And the developers themselves were the ones
to bring it,
opened,
make it like that.
That opened.
Yeah, they muddied the waters.
They have nobody to blame but themselves for this.
All right, let's talk esports this weekend.
That's right. Let's look ahead to our weekend in esports. Joe, what do we got going on?
All right, so first up, we got the LCS. It's got the last week of action coming up before we get ready for the spring split playoffs, which will be happening in the beginning of April. We've also got National PUBG League action this week. I believe we've got the relegation tournament going on
this
weekend.
That's right. So, it's going to be an interesting weekend. Let's see who ends up coming back for the second split.
Yep, and finally, we've also got Overwatch League going on with a Stage 1 playoff. This weekend, we've already had some exciting matchups, and we got a bunch more coming.
I think tonight's going to be the real, real exciting ones.
Who we got playing?
Oof, it's really hard to call them tonight, man.
San Francisco and Toronto, and what's the other game?
Philly and Atlanta.
Oh, both.
It's going to be great games.
Those are all going to be very
super
good
tight
games.
All right, you'll hear all about them next week on Checkpoint XP Daily. You can join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern for live episodes of Checkpoint XP Daily. And we hope that you do. And if you haven't yet, I don't know why you wouldn't, go and subscribe to the Checkpoint XP Daily podcast over at checkpointxp.com. We've got a ton of podcasts, more growing every day. You can also subscribe to Not Your Player 2, Checkpoint 76, and Low Team Damage, all which had new episodes this week. Again, you can find all of that over at our website, checkpointxp.com. All right, guys, that's going to do it for the Checkpoint XP podcast. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about our show, interviews from past episodes, and a whole lot more. That's all over at CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review. Checkpoint XP is a production of Westwood One and Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Big thanks to our production team of Rick Scott, Mike Thomas, and Buzz Knight. And this is the last episode that Rick Scott will serve as on our executive production team. Thank you so much,
Rick. Thank
you,
Rick,
for all that you've done for us. This would not have been possible without you. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, I'm Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to checkpointxp.com.